Will 2023 be a rocky road to recovery? That's what we plan on talking about today in today's episode of Finance Roundtable. In Scottsdale, Arizona, this is Professor Jacob Gold, and you're listening to the January episode of Finance Roundtable. So much to talk about today. Fortunately, I'm joined by some of my favorite people. First, I have the president of JG&A, Mr. Michael Koschel. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking, Jake, and Happy New Year to both you and Kelly.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. Happy New Year to you. Next, we have the producer of the show, Mr. Kelvin Gold. Kelly, how you doing, bud?
Doing great. Doing great. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Well, wonderful. Let's get into it. The U.S. stock market had a pretty rough year back in 2022 with inflation, interest rates, and recession fears dominating the news. I actually feel like the media did an exceptional job of sensationalizing the downturn in the marketplace, so much so that as I'm talking with clients, they actually feel that they are worse off today than they were when we began this pandemic. And unfortunately, that just really isn't the case. Of course, 2020, 2021 were challenging years on a public health level, but from an economic and stock market perspective, the S&P 500 was up 16% in 2020, and then in 2021, it was up an additional 26%. So even though last year we took a step backwards, we still had positive steps forward in the prior years. But Mike, I'd love to hear your take on what happened last year and share with our audience what the S&P, NASDAQ, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average actually did in 2020.
Great, Jake. That's a big question.
It is.
You know, there's no easy answer for it. I might say that it was both challenging and very emotional for not just investors, but everyone. Mm-hmm. Hence, you discussed the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So we had health concerns, mm-hmm. and then we had markets and confidence grow in certain aspects, but then being challenged in other areas.
Absolutely.
So I might say and feel that it's a reminder to all of us on vulnerability of change.
Yeah,
it truly is. And so that's something to keep in mind, mm-hmm. even though we might discuss some data and facts, so I'll share some numbers of what we ended up at 2022, but we're always vulnerable to change, mm-hmm. and that's something always to keep in mind, especially as we see confidence continue to increase or decline. So let's go into some of the numbers.
Perfect.
Here. If we look at 2022, the S&P 500 was down negative 19.4%.
Ouch.
Yes, indeed. Very painful. And then take it a step further, we have the NASDAQ, mm-hmm. which is primarily consists of technology mm-hmm. stocks, down negative 33.1%. Mm-hmm. That's even more painful because that's one of the areas that sparked so much confidence for mm-hmm. so many years.
And many investors are so heavily concentrated in various tech companies. So I'm sure those individuals that were heavily concentrated in those areas, they felt even more pain than those just in the S&P 500.
They were. And take it as a double whammy. Mm-hmm. So certainly caused a lot of pain for many investors. And then lastly, the Dow Jones Industrial Average ended up negative 8.8% mm-hmm. For the year. So it's definitely brutal mm-hmm. and difficult, but we must look forward.
Yeah.
And we got 2023 to now try and navigate in our markets.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Mike. And what a great segue in talking about some potential bright spots for 2023. I actually have three potential bright spots that I want to mention. And these bright spots really could create opportunity somewhere along the line in 2023, but I will caution that I do feel that the road is still going to be bumpy. And if there was a theme to this maybe first half of the year is we've got to be patient, and it's going to be unpredictable. But nonetheless, I feel there are three bright spots for 2023 that are worth mentioning. The first is that the midterm election is behind us. And I'll mention this, if you ever are looking to find some good financial data, I would encourage you to take a look at www.jacobgold.com. If you take a look at our company website and you go to the financial library, we just recently added some really good economic data to that section of our website. Particularly, there is a white paper from First Trust, which is a financial institution. And that white paper talks about presidential elections. There's another white paper on inflation. But interestingly enough, if you turn to page 4 of 7 of the presidential election white paper on our website at jacobgold.com, you will see that historically, midterm election years tend to be the worst year within a 4-year presidential cycle. And many times the year after a midterm election year, the markets have some boost of confidence because leading into the midterm, there's a lot of uncertainty. Who is going to be controlling the House? Who's going to be controlling the Senate? And as we know, our political system is very partisan at this point in time. And we recognize that if we do have a mixed government, which we now have here in the U.S., that there's going to be some political gridlock there. And the theory is that if there is political gridlock, that the odds of having major legislation be passed is much lower because there's razor-thin majorities in the House and the Senate. So in order to have something pass, it's got to be bipartisan. And if we think about this, when one political party runs the gambit, corporate America is very uneasy. They feel they have to send their lobbyists to D.C. They have to spend millions of dollars to protect their territory because they're afraid that the rules of the game might change on them. The next 2 years, we know there is political gridlock. So my hope is that companies can maybe not look at the political system as a distraction, but they can focus in on their businesses. They can focus in on their products, their services, their balance sheet, their leadership, and really grow from the ground up with less political distractions. So I think that's a positive for 2023. We know what our government's going to look like the next 2 years, and we have checks and balances, and the odds are we're just not going to have major legislation get passed, and therefore we recognize that spending might be less the next 2 years than the prior 2 years. So that's number one. The second thing, which is on another white paper on inflation at jacobgold.com, on page 4 of 12 of that piece of inflation, it talks about the fact that April of last year, inflation really reached its peak at about 9.1%. And today, inflation is back down to about 7.1. 7.1 is still pretty high, higher than we all would like it to be. But last year, there was this fear that maybe we were entering into a 1970s era where we had double-digit inflation for a number of years, and that really crippled our U.S. economy. Well, that notion, at least for the time being, is off the table because we recognize the Federal Reserve has raised rates so much that they're slowing the economy down, and therefore inflation is coming down. So the fear of double-digit inflation being a permanent being permanently ingrained in our economy, once again, is off the table, and that is a good thing. Our purchasing power is going to be hopefully a little bit stronger this year compared to last year's high inflationary environment. So that's number two, that inflation isn't as painful for the economy as it was last year. The third is we recognize that the last 3 years during this pandemic, Chinese citizens have really been confined to their apartments. They haven't been able to have the liberties that many of us have been able to enjoy during this challenging environment. So much so that the Chinese economy has struggled. And we recognize that China, out of necessity, is beginning to open up again. And that is a $17 trillion economy in U.S. dollars. And that could potentially create some global growth. And that, too, could help stabilize the global economy. And that might continue to help the supply chain situation. So those three areas could be potentially looked at as bright sides. Of course, we have a lot of headwinds still, mainly from Ukraine and the war that is taking place in that country, as well as still ongoing struggles on where our U.S. economy is headed. But we're hopeful that that as we are working through this economic crisis, that we begin to see some green shoots. And our job as being financial advisors is to really educate our clients as well as the public that even though change is painful, a lot of times we recognize that we're not going to stay in one place too long, that things will improve, and we're hopeful that a diversified portfolio will be able to endure some of these bumps while still positioning investors in the right place long term. Mike, any thoughts on that? Anything to add to that commentary of mine just now?
Jake, I think that was fantastic. Got us into some of the depths of those areas that were challenging. We worked through them, and now some of the things that are laid out from 2022, what that might look like in 2023. So nicely put.
Appreciate that.
No specifics offhand, with the exception I might share that when we're looking at the markets or change, if you will, there's always both sides.
Yeah.
And I see in some studies with behavioral finance is that we always need to consider both sides. There's always positives, but then there's negatives.
Absolutely.
There's fear that investors or in the health pandemic deal that we went through, that takes control. But then there's also the other side. We got fear, but then there's also opportunity.
Yeah.
And it's trying to navigate the best we can through that. So
balance the two, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think going forward, there's a lot of importance on the proper amount of research, resources, and alluding to our role as advisors is we're more important now. I think the knowledge and information, having an objective perspective is even more valuable than it has been when things are just fine and things are good and that confidence is way up there. So nicely put. A couple thoughts that I might have is you shared with that there's some challenges that we've gotten past. And I always want to look at some bright sides of some things. And going in 2023, there have been some changes with retirement contribution limits, RMDs, which is required minimum distributions for individuals that reach certain ages. Hence, talking about the pros and the cons. And looking forward, if we think of 2023, let's look at that a bit. And there are some positive changes, but they're overlooked many times because of all the headwind of the negative news out there.
I'm so glad that you're bringing up the changes to contribution limits and RMDs because those that are listening to this podcast, they need to be aware of how much they have to take out based on their age as well as how much can they contribute to their company's 401k. So thank you for bringing that up. I look forward to hearing those updated numbers.
Yeah. So let me go through that a little bit. So retirement contributions in 2022 was $20,500. That anyone who has access to a 401k, maybe a 403b or a 457 plan, if they're under the age of 50, can max out their contribution up to $20,500 for the year. That has been increased by $2,000. So the max amount for anyone under the age of 50 is $22,500. In addition, anyone over the age of 50 can contribute an additional amount called a catch-up contribution, and that has increased by $1,000. So that max amount would be $7,500. totaling a total of $30,000 mm-hmm. that someone could contribute to a corporate retirement plan. So that's a significant benefit mm-hmm. and allows individuals to be able to save additional funds for retirement and maybe get some tax benefits mm-hmm. if they're in a pre-tax environment, or take advantage of after-tax and a Roth mm-hmm. Retirement plan contribution. And so I think it's a fantastic opportunity for people just to be aware of mm-hmm. whether they can do that right now. You don't have to make that decision, but just knowing that that option is available is very powerful. So I feel that that's one positive side.
Absolutely.
Going in 2023. And then the next one is RMD. Mm-hmm. I briefly mentioned required minimum distributions. Basically, the IRS had mm-hmm. guidelines to require individuals to take out a percentage from their retirement account, typically IRAs, mm-hmm. once they reach a certain age.
Right.
Prior to the pandemic, that age was 70 and a half, and then it bumped up to 72. Mm-hmm. And in 2023, now that'll be 73. So age of 73 is when an individual may be required to draw or take a percentage out of their IRAs mm-hmm. for income purposes, hence to actually pay Uncle Sam their taxes.
And let me focus on that for one second, because I think that that's a really important part. If we have an individual that's contributing to their 401k on a pre-tax basis, and let's say they make $50,000 and they contribute $10,000 to their 401k, they're only paying taxes on $40,000 because they get that $10,000 tax deduction. Now, they don't ever have to take that money out until they turn 73. Because when they turn 73, Uncle Sam says, okay, I've been waiting long enough to start receiving my tax income from this amount, and I'm not going to wait any longer. So whether an individual wants it, needs it, or doesn't, he or she has to start taking out their distribution from their pre-tax IRA at 73. If they don't, it's a 50% penalty. So this is really important for our clients that are retired. They're taking money out. We got to make sure that they're taking out at least the required minimum amount. Otherwise, there's a very hefty penalty there on their distributions. I thought that was important to just mention that, because Uncle Sam, as you said, he wants to get paid. Mm-hmm. He's been waiting for a long time. And now once you turn that 73, he kind of feels like it's his turn. And based on an individual's age, they have to take out X percentage per year. And every year they get older, that percentage increases. So sorry about interrupting there, Mike.
No problem. Definitely some added value, because there's many moving parts when it concerns the RMDs. And we certainly need to address every piece that we can. So no, that is very good. Added pieces to the data regarding the RMDs.
I appreciate that. Well, great. Well, you know, one other thing I guess I'd want to mention, Mike, you had mentioned pre-tax and the Roth. I am a huge advocate of Roth 401ks. And I mentioned the concept of the RMD, and when you make a contribution to your pre-tax 401k, you get the tax deduction immediately. When an individual contributes to a Roth 401k, there is no tax deduction. So using that same example, if someone makes $50,000, they contribute $10,000 to their Roth 401k, they're still going to pay taxes on that $50,000. But that $10,000 is going to go into the Roth 401k, it will get invested, and then all of the growth is going to be federal and state tax-free. So think of it as like you pay taxes on it up front so you can have tax-free growth for decades to come. My personal opinion is I feel that there is a high probability that as time goes on, we might see tax rates go up from here. So the thought to be able to pay taxes on it now when tax rates are lower, let it grow, and then come out tax-free, that's extremely powerful when it comes to retirement planning. I usually encourage my clients that have Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks, for those dollars to be some of the last dollars to tax tap into, because we want to give those dollars more time to grow tax efficiently. So that's my little plug for the Roth 401k. And if that makes sense to you, I would encourage you to reach out to your HR if you're contributing to your 401k and ask if there is a Roth 401k opportunity. It's worth investigating.
It certainly is, Jake, and most retirement plans, especially for large companies, provide both the pre-tax and Roth. And many times, if you were to log into the websites that they have access to for their retirement plans, there's a lot of commentary and data regarding both. A lot of education, I think, has been put forth with a lot of institutions. So great, great, great point.
Thanks, Mike. And also, too, it's never an all or nothing thing. I see some people, they say, okay, Jacob, I feel like I need to have some tax deduction, but I also want some tax-free growth. So if they're thinking about putting 10% of their income into their 401k, maybe they put half in the pre-tax to get the tax deduction, half in the Roth to get that tax-free growth, and they can change it at any time based on their circumstances. So part of this podcast is just to, you know, add awareness to our audience of what tools are out there, what are we looking at, and let's acknowledge this is our very first episode, and I think we're going to look back and we're probably going to laugh at this episode and recognize how far we've come. But what do you guys think? I want to start with you, Kelly, just because you haven't had as much time on the air in this episode as maybe some of our pre-episodes that we've recorded. But you know, where do you think we are? How do you think we're doing so far with this first episode?
Great. This is a pretty data-heavy episode, yeah. So I don't get too much included, which is fine by me because I do not know these numbers quite as well as you do. But yeah, we're doing a real good job from a editing standpoint and audio standpoint. It sounds really, really good. And it's going to sound really, really good when it all comes together.
Thanks, Kelly. Well, and Kelly is the producer of the podcast. And one thing that he constantly hears me say is more sound effects. I love the sound effects. I enjoy watching Jim Cramer on CNBC and his Mad Money show hitting all of these devices, making all these different noises. I think it just adds some fun to it. And let's face it, we want to have fun with this podcast. There are plenty of podcasts out there that are super serious and there's a motive behind it. For us, we want to be, you know, entertaining you, but we also want to educate you, and we want this to be a fun and an enjoyment atmosphere. But Mike, what do you think? How do you think we're doing so far?
You know what? It is a journey.
Yeah, it is.
An unknown journey for all three of us. Kelly, I can't say enough and appreciate your area of expertise with the technology. Jacob and I would be a bit lost if we had to
It would not happen,
that.
Right?
It would not happen, certainly. So we greatly appreciate it. So I feel like it's a journey that we'll learn from, become better. And if we're able to have good conversations and input some educational pieces that people can pick and pull from, fantastic.
Yeah,
I know the purpose behind it is one to work with the three of us, but then also try and provide some kind of value to anyone who may be interested in listening.
Absolutely. So. Well, and let's face it, anything related to money, anything related to the stock market, because there is risk involved, people get nervous and we fear what we don't understand. And a lot of times in this field, people that are working in this field can be somewhat intimidating. And so we want to create some type of platform where it can be friendly, it can be upbeat, it can be educational, and we slowly debunk a lot of the mystery around money. And we can help our audience recognize that money is just a tool. That's all it is. And we want to sharpen that tool as much as possible. And so once someone can recognize that money is just a tool, then they look at it differently and they can structure their life differently. But Kelly, would you mind also kind of sharing with the audience some future segment ideas that we have in the works?
Yeah, so a big future segment that we're working on and I will be in charge of is questions with Professor Jacob Gold. So his students provide questions that they're thinking, and then I'll ask these, and then Jacob Gold will answer them. And this will be a good little segment to educate the younger listeners, the listeners more closely in my age, in college, in high school, or whatever. And yeah, that'll be my segment that we can rely on in the future.
I love it. Yeah, one of the last classes of the fall semester, I had my students write down questions. So we already have a bank full of questions from my students. And once we work through those, I'll ask my students for more questions, as well as we're planning to set up a phone line here at Jacob Golden Associates that our audience can call 24 hours a day. And on our directory, it will say push X extension to leave a message for the podcast, and you'll be able to say your name and a question, and then we'll take that audio, inject it into the podcast. You'll be able to hear your voice on the podcast asking the question, and then Michael and I will answer the question. So we're looking forward to that, as well as anybody that's listening. If you have a question and you want to send an email, my email address is jacob@jacobgold.com. Michael's is michael@jacobgold.com. And so we would encourage you, feel free to email us questions as well, and we'll try to find a way to inject them into future episodes. But as we're wrapping this up, I really want to take a moment to share our appreciation for you listening. Maybe you're driving, maybe you're running or exercising, or you're at your computer listening to this. However you are listening to this, we thank you, and we would encourage you to let other people know about this podcast. You can go directly to jacobgold.com and listen to our podcast under Financial Wellness, or you can Google Finance Roundtable and it will pull up, or you could go to Spotify or Google. Soon, we hopefully will have the podcast on iTunes as well. But we really enjoyed this first episode. We hope you enjoyed listening to it. And it honestly, it's a real honor for me to be hosting this with one of my best buds, Mike Koschel, and my son, Kelly Gold. I mean, I could not have asked for a better team. I feel honored, and I'm ready to have some fun, guys.
I certainly am as well.
Any last words, Mike?
You know, I say stay tuned because there's a lot more to come. Right. And we're excited about the journey, not just with the three of us, but with our audience as well.
Yeah, engaging with the audience, getting to know them. Oh, thank you, Mike. That's a great point. Mike, Kelly, any final words?
You know, it's going to be a good year. We're going to accomplish a lot with this podcast this year.
And we're going to have fun with it. We're going to find ways to market it. We're going to have ways. Maybe eventually we'll have a YouTube channel and we'll bring in video into it. But, you know, baby steps first. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But this has been a lot of fun. Stay tuned next month, February, for our next episode of Finance Roundtable. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we will be talking to you all very soon. Thank you. Jacob Gold and Michael Koschel are financial advisors offering securities and advisory services through Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, doing insurance business in California as CFGAN Insurance Agency, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a broker-dealer and registered investment advisor. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity. Jacob's California Insurance License, 0E55425. Michael's California Insurance License, 0K90130. The views depicted in this material are for information purpose only and are not necessarily those of Cetera Advisor Network. They should not be considered specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Neither Cetera Advisor Networks nor any of its representative may give legal or tax advice. Kelvin Gold is a marketing associate. Registered address is 14850 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 255, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85254.